Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look up there then. Set up in there, okay. He's here.
Turn in our hymn book to hymn number 68. Rejoice the Lord is King. It's a different page number here. Rejoice the Lord is King, and that is 190 in our blue hymn book. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. If you're physically able to, stand with us. We sing 190.
Rejoice the Lord is King, your Lord and King adored. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph.
on the third verse, rejoice, the Lord is King. What a great song to sing.
His kingdom can I end. He rules more earth than man. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus give. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again. I say rejoice.
Amen. Before we sing that fourth verse, who'd like to share a praise to God? How are you rejoicing that the Lord is taking care of you? Who would like to share a testimony with us? Patty. Okay. Wonderful. That's an answer to prayer. God is taking care of us. Who else? TJ. Amen. We sure missed TJ while he was gone. We're glad that he's back with us. And not only him, but he brought his friends with him, Luke and Cassie. We're glad that Luke and Cassie are now with us and that they're saved. They got saved a couple weeks ago and then baptized 2 weeks ago. We're so thankful for Luke and Cassie as well. Who else? Eric.
I thank God for being here. I thank God for all the church members. And thanks for
Amen. Anyone else? How are you rejoicing? Therese.
I want to say thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for helping me get dressed up here. I want to thank you, God, for the love, for the joy, for the glory. I want to say thank you, God. I rejoice in God. Thank God for our love for me. He blessed me, he healed me. And anytime I know something's going on, we can be what's going
on. Amen.
Show me the way and the truth and the life.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? One more? Yes, Patty. Amen. Okay, amen. That's great. Thankful for her Sunday school class. Let us sing that fourth verse. Rejoice in glorious hope.
Rejoice in glorious hope. Our Lord the Judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your
gives us joy. What does the devil ever give us? All he ever gives is misery, heartache, sin, and all the consequences and destruction of sin. So the devil doesn't give us anything, but the Lord gives us rejoicing and all blessings. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are King over all, that you are a great Heavenly Father that has made heaven and earth. And that your Son Jesus had made heaven and earth as well. And the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters and formed the heavens and the earth as well. We thank you that you are one God in three persons, the Holy Trinity. We thank you that we can come to you at any time with any problem that we have. And that you will bear our burdens and solve our problems for us. We pray for the burdens that are on our hearts this morning. We pray that you just help us to take them to you so that you can solve them. We thank you for the many answers to prayer that you've given this past week. We praise you and thank you. Can't thank you enough for all that you're doing. We thank you for bringing Mimi out of her surgery on Friday evening around 9 o'clock with a good report that the mass was removed successfully after a few hours surgery and that there was no attachments of cancer from it to anything, and that the biopsy initially was no cancer at all. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray for the pathology reports to come back well as well. We pray you'd be with those others. We think of Luke and the Ruba family and the loss of his grandmother. Lord, we pray you just comfort them at this time. And I pray that whatever the spiritual needs are in the family, you'd meet them in a great and mighty way. We pray you'd be with anyone else who's hurting, Lord. I pray you just put your healing hands upon them. You'd touch them and raise them up. We think of Essie and with her ankle and her feet being swollen and her heart, Lord. I pray you'd be with her and heal her. And pray for Carol with her blood clots. We think of others with their problems. We think of Bob Wells, Lord. We pray that you would just continue to raise him up out of this sickness that he had that weakened him and took away his appetite. We pray you just heal him and give him that strength again that he needs to be able to serve you and to be able to go forward, Lord. And I pray you just heal his body in a great and mighty way. We pray for the others that we're praying for. We pray that you just meet their needs, Lord. We think of those that need jobs, that you'd provide jobs. Those that need shelter, that you'd provide a place to live. And those that need finances, Lord, I pray you just meet their needs in a great and mighty way, Lord. We pray that you just be with them. We pray that you'd bless this church today. Help us to worship and praise you, and because we know that you are the one who can bless us and who can give us all things that we need in life. Lord, help us to come to you. And I pray that you'd be with our country, you'd be with our president, his advisors, our Congress, our senators, our representatives, mayors, governors, that they would all seek you, Lord, that we'd have a great revival in this nation, that our land may be blessed, Lord, that we would turn from our sin, that you can heal our land. We pray you'd also be with nation of Israel, that you'd bless them. We thank you for sending Jesus through that nation, Lord. I pray you just help them to prosper and be blessed. And we pray you'd also be with our missionaries around the world, that you'd bless them on their respective fields, the Bruners in the Philippines, the Larges in Nicaragua, and now with helping missionaries stay on the field and encouraging them. Lord, I pray you just help use them in a great and mighty way. And I pray you'd also be with the Kellers in Ukraine, that you'd bless them and help them as they plant a church there. Be with Dan Rivolo and Hannah as they seek to go to Spain to set up a work there, a church, Lord. I pray you just do a mighty work of just going ahead of him and going ahead of them to open up just the right doors that you would have for them, whether it be an existing church or whether it be starting one. Lord, I pray you just meet their needs financially. Help them as he has a job, Lord. And I pray you'd help them to get the family there. And I pray you just meet all their needs along the way, Lord, in a great and mighty way that you would answer for them. And we pray you just show them your will, Lord, what you would have for them. And pray for anyone else, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let us turn back to our hymn books as we continue praising the Lord. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Let's turn back to our blue hymn book. And 418. And camped along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise, and breast the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in The devil seems like he's winning right now with so many people lost in sin, but it's our job to help rescue them. Pull them out of that losing side of the devil where he's trying to take them down to hell with him, and by telling them of Jesus and how he can save their souls so they can be on the winning side. The devil is a sore loser, and he is trying to take as many people to hell with him. So let us shine the light of the gospel into their hearts. This time we'll direct your attention to our Bibles. So we go to our scripture reading. Turn to the Bible, Psalm 78, and we'll finish the chapter this morning. We're going to ask Brother Hodge or Brother Rivera to come and read for us. It's good to have Brother Rivera back with us. We've missed him much, and we're glad he's back. And good to see Jonathan and Rachel as well. Psalm 78. And let's see, where did we left off with verse, I believe it was 39. So we'll do 40 through 52. Psalm 78, starting in verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. And Brother Danny, I have a Bible up here for you to read. Psalm 78, verse 40 and through verse 52. And we'll read it responsively. So if there should be a Bible near you somewhere in the pews. So if you can find one, and go right to the middle of the Bible. Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible. Makes it easy to read. And that way we can all get there. Psalm 78, 40 through 52.
Psalm 78, 40 through 52. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert?
Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy.
How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan.
And had turned their rivers into blood and their floods, that they could not drink.
He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them.
He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust.
He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost.
He gave up their cattle also to hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts.
He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil angels among them.
He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence.
And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacle of Ham.
All together. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Amen.
May God bless to our hearts reading of his word. You may be seated. The Egypt thumbed their nose at God and said, we don't believe in the one true God who made heaven and earth, Jehovah. We believe in our own gods. And they made up their own gods. They made the sun god, Ra. They made the moon god. They made the bull god. They made the cat god. They made the frog god, the Nile god. They made all kinds of gods. And they had hundreds. And God showed in all 10 plagues, how their gods were nothing. The frog god couldn't protect the frogs. How the bull god couldn't protect the bulls that they worshipped. And then they worshipped Pharaoh as God. And then Pharaoh's own firstborn son died as a result of God's judgment. And Pharaoh was not a god at all. And so God showed the whole world at that time that there is no nation that can say, yeah, we are God, and that we will give you your gods. No, the whole world saw that there is only one true God who made heaven and earth, and that is Israel's God, Jehovah God. And we are so thankful that we serve the one true God. I want to direct your attention to our bulletin at this time. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. And we have a nice trophy here that we want to give out. It says, sharing the good news of the gospel in your part of the world, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we want to give this out. TJ, come on up. He helped his friends come to the Lord. Well done, TJ. Congratulations. This is, if you can hold on to it for 4 weeks and then bring it back, and then hopefully by then we'll have more salvation. That's a blessing. Not only did he help Luke and Cassie come to the Lord and then get baptized, but then Myra. We got to meet Myra through Lucas. And what a blessing. So Lucas passed it on. So I think next it goes to Lucas for a little while. So maybe you can share, TJ, with Luke. That's great. All right. What a blessing. Just by way of announcements, it says, seek ye the Lord on the front of the bulletin. It's good to have visitors with us today. We're glad for those that are here with us visiting, and those who are return visitors, we're glad to have you as well. And we're so thankful. And it's good to have Myra and Daniel and Egypt with us. Egypt is, your two kids are Storm and Zeus. Storm and Zeus. And they're adorable. So it's good to have Egypt with us today. And then Daniel's two are Leilani and Zachariah. All right. And then, all right, so we're so thankful for your family. And we invite everyone today. We have a luncheon and a business meeting. So we ask all members to please stay with us for the luncheon. And then right after the luncheon, we're going to be having our business meeting. And so we look forward to this special time. And, of course, those on the buses, please stay with us as well. And be our guests. So, and then after the meeting, we'll take you home. And so we're so thankful for you, for each one being here. And let us pray for God to direct and guide us at this meeting. Then also, This Friday. Does anybody know what's going on this Friday, Zamora?
A harvest party.
All right. What time does it start? 6:30. And we'll go till whenever you want to stay. So if you want to be here till 9:30, you can stay till 9:30. Yeah. So not 12. If you're here at 12, you'll be by yourself. But unless somebody else wants to hang out with you. But so we look forward to a special time together. We're gonna have the fire pit all ablaze with a fire. Sister Karen is gonna be working on it. Yes, Karen. Forecast is rain. Okay. All right. Well, if it rains, we're on the inside, so that makes it easy. Okay. Okay. Prepared ahead of time. Yes. All right. We need some volunteers to bring some items. Who would like to bring marshmallows and chocolate? Some chocolate bars. Who would like to bring some marshmallows and chocolate for s'mores? You guys bring graham crackers? Okay, we got graham crackers covered. Who would like to bring marshmallows? Anyone like to bring some marshmallows? Yeah, we know who wants to eat them, that's for sure. No problem getting the eaters. Who would like to bring marshmallows? Yes, I don't know if they're going to be able to make it, so that's why I'm kind of, preparing in advance. So, all right, so we still need that. And then who can everyone bring some kind of side item or food item with them, okay? Can everyone bring one? Okay, all right, great. Everyone else, bring one. Bring something to eat, a pie or a food item of some type, and we bring it all together, and it makes a fun harvest party. Anyone want to bring nachos and cheese? You know, I think they sell that at the supermarket. You can get a can of cheese and just heat it up a little bit, or we have crock pots here. You can just dump it into one of ours and then just bring a couple bags of tortilla chips, and that'll be great. So all kinds of different ideas. We need somebody to bring hot dogs. Who's going to bring the hot dogs? Anyone like to bring about 4 packs of hot dogs? 4 packs? Okay, thank you, Egypt. Appreciate that. All right, so we got the hot dogs covered. And so how about marshmallows and chocolate? Marshmallows and chocolate. Still looking for that. Okay. All right, so how about we take care of that? All right, we'll take care of the marshmallows and chocolate. And so we look forward to this. And so bring something with you. We're going to make it a fun time. And they say rain, but a lot of times it's rain some part of the day, and then it's nice. So if it's nice, we'll go out and we'll have it for however long we have it. Then we'll come inside if it's raining. So we'll go in between the showers and try to get some use of our fire. We'll keep some logs inside to light, and we'll see if that will work. All right, then we're looking forward to that. We have some inside games planned, some fun things together to enjoy, to celebrate the season. Then on the keep praying for Karen. How's your mouth, Karen, from the root canal? Wonderful. Let's keep praying for Karen. Then also pray for the Good News Club. We're starting not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, the 31st. And then pray also for Mimi in her recovery. Praise the Lord, no cancer was found. So we praise the Lord for that. God answers prayer. Then if you would like a visit, please let me know. And then on the back page, we have a Missionary Sunday, November 10th, with Kenny Hafner and his wife and 2 children going to Mexico. Looking forward to them presenting on November 10th, morning and evening service. We look forward to that special time with them. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, if we give to him, he will give back to us only more than we ever give to him. We can never outgive God, who gives us all things. Let us bow together in prayer.
Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for your stay up with me. Thank you all for the opportunity you have given to us to care and to give us this money, this offering, this trust and you can help spread the gospel. Message gift, give the Lord and give me a glory of mine. Love you. Take you to glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. As we sing one more song before we just have special music and dismiss the kids for their time. And we're thankful for Mrs. Rice playing for us today. She's getting better each week, and we're so thankful that she's able to do this this morning. And thankful for all our up-and-coming pianists as well. In Mimi's absence, we're so thankful for her, God sending her to us. And then we're thankful for Zamora, who's learning, and Lydia and Holly. And so thankful for our up-and-coming piano players as well. Let us turn to Hallelujah, What a Savior, as we sing this song before the message this morning. And we are at 8:22. There's two tunes to this, so I just have to make sure we're singing the right tune. It is 184, I'm sorry, there's two tunes. 184 is the one we want. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Hallelujah, what a Savior. 184, let's all stand together as we sing this song. 184.
Man of Sorrows.
dismiss our young people, those sixth grade and younger, to go back for youth church, and as well the nursery and toddler church as well, toddler church as well as nursery. Those sixth grade and younger. And also want to mention the other piano player, I forgot, Sister Carol Gibson. She's also been playing as well. So we're thankful for all of our pianists who are learning and upcoming. Also thankful for all of our kids. Thankful for all our kids that are here today. Without kids, there would be no future in the church. So we're thankful for each child, each toddler, each baby. That's a good sign when the children's churches are full. That means that we've got an up-and-coming next generation to teach the Word of God, help hide God's Word in their hearts so that the devil doesn't get them. You know, the devil tries to get young people away from him when they're older, but if God gets to them first, then the devil can't get to them. And so we're so thankful for our teachers, for our nursery workers, thankful for, of course, our audio-visual crew, camera crew, our sound crew, thankful for each one of our different members who serve and those who are wanting to become members, who are wanting to serve. Lord, we're so thankful for each one of you. Let us turn our Bibles as we look into the Word of God. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 as we continue our study of the Word of God. Titus chapter 1. And we're thankful for all of our God made us all special, who we are, and He made us special, and there is no one that God did not make unique. God said, "Who made the blind or the lame?" That God made all of the people, even with handicaps. God made every one of us special. Why? Because He knows what we can handle, what we can't handle. He knows all about us, and He also made us unique. And so He has blessed us. So every person is a blessing from God. So we are so thankful for each one. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time to look into Your Word this morning. We pray You'd quiet our hearts even now. You'd draw our attention to Your Word, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against You. And I pray, if there's anyone here today who's not saved, that they would trust Christ, the Savior. I pray for anyone here who's discouraged or disappointed in life, Lord, I pray that they would look to You this morning for that encouragement that only You can give, that the world can't give it, that possessions can't give it, money can't give it, no need can be filled that is in our soul, and that need for You. Lord, I pray You'd give them what they need this morning. And I pray You'd help each one of us in our Christian lives, help us to grow. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You put in our hearts the moment we got saved, the moment we trusted Christ, that Your Holy Spirit indwelled us, and that He is there right now working. Lord, I pray You'd help us to listen to Him today as Your Word is preached, that You'd fill me with Thy Spirit. And fill each one of us with Your Spirit this morning, that we may be hearers and doers of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus chapter 1, where we left off, is verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Okay, so here we're looking at spiritual leaders. A spiritual leader must be mature in his family responsibility. He must have faithful children. He must be blameless, the husband of one wife, etc. In order for someone to qualify to be a pastor, he has to be qualified in his family. But then also, a spiritual leader must be mature in his example to others. And this is for all Christians, not just for leaders. This is who we all should seek to be in our Christian life. How many want to be up and down your whole Christian life? Where, yeah, you're doing great, and then you're not for a long time. Then you're doing great, then you're not. How many seek to be that? Okay. No, none of us seek to be that roller coaster Christian. But God gives us the framework here in the Bible to show us how to be not roller coaster Christians, but to be onward and upward, steady, the little dips, little up, little down. But it's not like this, where we're all over the map. Where God can show, he can help us to become mature Christians. Where, yeah, there's a little dip here and there, and then there's a mountain here and there, but that onward and upward, and we are progressively getting stronger in our faith and more mature in our faith. That's what God wants for us in the Christian life. And here in Titus, we have the roadmap to that. I'm just going to close this door here. And so here we are looking at verse 7, not given to wine, okay? An elder or pastor must not be given to wine, not only for the sake of his testimony, but for the sake of his inner spiritual life. A believer is to be dependent on nothing but the Lord himself. Any addiction is right or wrong for the Christian. An addiction. An addiction to any number of things. Sleep, TV, coffee, alcohol, money, eating, substances. Are they good for us as Christians? Who can fill all of our needs? Mentally, emotionally. We all have emotional needs. We all need at times to let our emotions show. And we cry. Or we laugh. Or we rejoice. Or we really mourn. Okay? We all have our emotional needs. What were you going to say, Armani? Yes. No. Coffee in and of itself is not bad. But there are people who literally, the caffeine in coffee, okay, it wakes us up in the morning. God put caffeine in the coffee bean for a reason, okay. But some people can get so used to that kick that they get from the caffeine that they literally have to have it all the time, every day. And literally, you'll see them and they'll drink 10 cups of coffee in a day. You say, how can somebody drink 10 cups? And then, of course, you take their lab work at the doctor and they're dehydrated because coffee is also a, diuretic. Okay, so it does leach certain things. It does have certain things that our body needs, such as, whatever it is. But it also leaches things out of our body. So if somebody drinks too much coffee, they're going to have not as many nutrients in their body. Yeah, exactly. Too much. Like, say, 10 cups a day. Okay? God made all things for us to enjoy. However, everything can be abused or everything can be used in moderation. Okay? And that's the thing. Now you think of drugs. Okay? God put the pharmaceutical drugs out there in the plants and the trees and everything. He put them out there for us to discover. However, he didn't put them out there for us to abuse. There's a difference. Okay? There's a big difference. And take, for an instance, the marijuana plant. Okay, the marijuana plant, in its original form, in God's creation, has a percentage of THC at 2%. 2% of the plant, the way God made it, 2% THC. But the way they've been hybriding and keep developing the plant, guess how much it has now in man's twisted state? 24%. 24%. And so you wonder why people are getting such highs now because marijuana has been abused and has been developed to such an extent where it's not just a painkiller anymore. Now it's a high getter and all this, and it's also the gateway drug. Okay, and those who start abusing marijuana will then, the studies show, will then start to go to other more powerful drugs, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so there's warnings. God gives us warnings for these things. Same thing with all the things that he has made. So God made everything in his creation. It was good. However, man's fallen nature has a tendency to abuse and misuse. And so therefore, we as Christians need to, we can't control how society is in general. We can't say, oh, well, then we should make this illegal. We made that. No, we can't do that. But we can regulate our own body. We are one day going to be accountable for how we have, what we have put into our own body. God says, let's turn over there, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's keep our finger here in, or bookmark in Titus 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. I'm sorry, not 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Let's go back a few more books to 1 Corinthians. So if you're in Titus, go back about 7 little books and you'll be in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It moves quick in New Testament. The books are smaller. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we're doing a study of 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, so come on out with us on Wednesday nights and for this great study of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Okay, that word fornicator means, it's from the Greek word porneos, which we get pornography from. Okay, pornography, which is the exposure of the human body, whether it be male or female, for the purpose of lust and fulfilling lust, lustful desires. Okay, that here God says neither fornicators. Of course, that also includes any type of immorality outside of marriage. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that doesn't leave much hope for us, right? Doesn't leave much hope for the human race. Wait, it doesn't stop there. What's the next verse? And such were some of you. Here in the church at Corinth, these people were saved out of lifestyles of doing these types of sins, but here God changed them. Jesus changed them. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God makes all things new. He changes us from who we used to be before we were saved to now we are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now he makes us a new creature. And guess what? You're going to start shedding some of those old habits and the old desires that you used to have. And let God have his way in your life. As the Lord convicts you of something, be willing to give it up. You say, well, what if I don't? Well, it'll be heartache for you. If you don't, it'll be sadness for you. If you don't, it'll be God. He'll have to chasten you in that area. And it's much better to give it up. It's much better to say, Lord, I'm so glad you're working on me in this area. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to have a habit of cursing all the time. I don't want to be cursing anymore. Please help change my speech. Sure enough, God will change your speech. He will help you. As you feed on the Word of God daily, He will the verses of Scripture will soak into your mind, and it's like a powerful soap. God's Word is the only book that's living, alive. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. Some young men, they say, what hope do I have of getting rid of this habit with pornography? Or what hope do I have getting rid of this habit with drugs? Or what hope do I have getting rid of this habit with alcohol or any other type of sin pattern? We have all the hope in the world because God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God is that soap that cleans out our life and our mind and our heart. So here we see these church members at Corinth, used to be involved in these sins, fornication, idolatry, adulterers, effeminates. That means they were tending toward feminine, if they were masculine. If they were masculine, they were tending toward effeminacy. And so here, God changed them back into who he made them to be. Why? Because through the process of changing their thinking, through renewing their mind through the Word of God, God's Word is so powerful, it renews our mind and changes our behavior. And if we will let God do his work, he will change us. And now these were model Christians. These who used to be in habitual lifestyles of sin were now model Christians of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now others could say, wow, how did you do that? I want to do that too. And they now were helping others out of sin to the Savior. Why? Because Jesus changed them. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do with each one of us. Let's go to verse chapter 6, verse 19. Verse 18 says, "But flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Okay, Paul makes the analogy in verse 15. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." Okay, so God, who gave us our body for the use of glorifying God, he gave us our body in our mother's womb. He formed and fashioned us. And he gave us our fingers, our toes, our hands, our feet, our brain, our mind, our nose, our mouth, our ears. He gave us every part of our body for us to use to glorify him, to seek him, to be saved, to get saved, and then to glorify him and praise him with our life. But here, Paul says, how can we take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Okay, when that one flesh relationship with someone who's not your wife, God forbid. God says, no, absolutely no. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Now, you can, if you're a woman, you take this on the reverse side of the coin. Always, whenever God speaks to men in general, he's also speaking to women, so just take the reverse side of the coin. If you're a lady, be joined to a man that is not yours. Okay, what? But he, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. God made us our first relationship. The only one where we'll get all our needs met is not in a man, not in a woman, but in God. The first and primary relationship where all our needs will get met is with God. Seeking him. He is the one we need to seek first and foremost. Everything else is icing on the cake. If you get married, great. If you don't ever get married and you don't ever find that someone special, guess what? Jesus is your husband. If you're a man, Jesus is your spouse. He makes up for what that woman, the lack of a woman in your life. See, God is the one we need to be joined to first. We are his. He made us. He gave us everything. So therefore, we are now to treat our body with dignity and with respect as God's creation. Verse 18, flee fornication. Flee any type of immorality. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Okay, that one sin of lust will hurt our own body. Verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Jesus had to suffer and die on that cruel cross. Jesus had to endure such pain and suffering. Why? Because of all of our sins were upon him. All of our lusts, all of our envies, all of our anger, all of our lying, our deceiving, all of our habit patterns that are sinful, everything that we had done before we were saved, we put Jesus on that cross. And he had to suffer an excruciating pain and agony for those sins. So God is saying, you have been bought with a price. Jesus had to buy you out of the slavery of sin and the slavery of Satan with his own body. And let us not treat it with scorn or with a lack of respect by going back into the sins that we used to do before we were saved, but instead to flee from those sins and to come out and say, Lord, take me. I'm yours. I want to do what you want to do in my life and in my body, because the Holy Ghost lives in our hearts. The Holy Ghost lives in our bodies. So every time we participate in sin, guess what? We're bringing the Holy Ghost with us. And he's grieved. And he's sad. And he's sorrowful. Why? Because we are disobeying him. And so let us remember that the Holy Ghost lives in us, and we are his temple. Therefore, let us obey the Lord. Let us do what is right. Let us obey God. Let's read our Bible. Let's pray. Let's go to church. Let's do the things that God wants us to do. And you know what? Life will be a breath of fresh air instead of continual sorrow. Okay? When we're in sin, you say, how do you know, Pastor? Don't worry, I'm a sinner too, saved by grace. When we're in sin, it's sad. It's a sad life. It's a sorrowful life. You know, why? Because we're at odds with someone. We're at odds with people. We're at odds with ourselves. We're at odds with God. We're at odds on all sides. We're always fighting. Why? Because we're not obeying God. But when we're not in sin, when we're confessing our sin and forsaking it, we have peace. We have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what the Christian's gas is, you know, to fill our cars. You know, we have to have something in the tank to fill our car and to go. Well, the Christian's gas to go forward in life is the joy of the Lord. But if we're living in sin, we're not going to have much in the tank. We're going to say, oh, I don't feel like doing much. Oh, why am I so sad and miserable? Well, it's because we don't have much in the tank. We're obeying God in some areas, but we're not obeying God in other areas, and we're in sin, and so there's not much in the tank, and so we're running on fumes in our Christian life. And so God says, don't run on fumes. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You get joy by obeying Jesus. Obey the Lord in your life, and joy will come flooding in. Let's go back to Titus chapter 1. Good question, Armani. And it kind of went along with everything we talked about last week about the family. And so now, if we want to be a consistent Christian, we're not going to be given to wine. In other words, letting wine or an intoxicating substance rule our life. What happened as you drive past the liquor store, they say spirits on there. You know, fill your body with spirits. Well, see, there can't be competing spirits with the Holy Spirit, okay? We have to have either spirits in our mind and in our body or the Holy Spirit running our body. And we can't have both, okay? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. God says, be filled with the Spirit and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, just like wine takes over a person's mental thinking. You know, you ever watch someone coming out of a bar, you know, and they've had too many drinks? They don't walk very straight. Why? Because their mind has been taken over. Their body has been taken over with that alcohol content in their blood. And it's now making them say stupid things and making them do things that they shouldn't do. Well, why? Because they're not filled. They're not thinking anymore. They're filled with that alcohol. Well, God says we need to be filled with the Spirit. That means to let God have His way in our life. Not given to wine, no striker. That word there means not one who strikes out or is unruly or is a verbal striker. No striker, not given to filthy lucre. That means someone who is someone who's argumentative or quarrelsome is an example of a striker. Someone who is pugnacious, contentious. Those who love to argue, thrive on conflict. This is a mark of immaturity. We should not thrive on conflict, but we should be people of peace. Letting the Lord create peace in our life. Not given to filthy lucre. Verse 7, that's talking about a mature believer in Christ is not financially motivated. He is motivated by the love of Christ. It certainly is not wrong to make money, but it is wrong to love money and to live life for the sake of money. Of all things, a Christian worker should be motivated by higher concerns than a piece of silver. If a spiritual leader is driven by his need for more money, He will not have the best interests of others in mind and is not free in heart to serve God selflessly. If he is one who earns significant amounts of money, he has the ability to give cheerfully and share joyfully. So it's not wrong to make money, but if money has our hearts, and if money is where our treasure is, then it is wrong. Then it becomes a sin. And instead of God having our heart. And so we should not be given to filthy lucre. Okay? That is an important thing for a spiritual leader. Then, in verse 8, it says, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. A lover of hospitality. A Christian must be hospitable, especially a Christian leader, generous to guests with an open home and an open heart. He does not view guests as interruptions to his personal agenda, but as opportunities to share the love and blessing of the Lord. How many have ever had somebody over to your house recently? Okay, maybe. Okay, all right. What is it like when you open your doors to someone? How do you feel?
Good.
You feel good. Hey, come on in. Share what I have. Or maybe you take someone out to a restaurant. I'm going to take somebody out to a restaurant. Okay, you share what you have and you help them and you say, here, I want to buy your meal. Or whatever the case is, you're being hospitable. That is an opportunity to share the love and blessing of the Lord. And that's something that God wants us to be willing to do. Have an open home, open heart to people and an open home as much as possible. As much as we can. Then a lover of good men. Okay, what does that mean? A Christian leader must be a lover of good men or of good things. If you're a lady, lover of good ladies. Okay, you don't want to hang around with the crowd that's doing questionable things down at the street corner that you don't know what they're doing, but they're probably not doing something good. So you can tell by the way they're acting. Okay, we don't want to hang around the crowd that's going to take us down spiritually. Instead, we want to hang out with the crowd that will encourage us spiritually. We want to hang out with people who love God, okay? Now, it doesn't mean we don't have any friends that are unsaved. No, we still have friends that are unsaved, and we reach out to them, and we say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Hey, I love you. How you doing today? And we talk, we reach out to those unsaved friends, but as a general rule, we're hanging out, we're spending more of our time with people that love God and are lovers of good things. Paul taught the Colossian believers, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. So the psalmist wanted to surround himself with friends who were good and lovers of God. Psalm 119:63 says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. A spiritually maturing believer surrounds himself with goodness. And that's what we should do. We should surround ourselves with people who are wanting to do right. Not perfect people, because you'll never find them. You know, oh, pastor, I don't know any perfect people. No, we're not talking about perfect people. We're talking about people who are seeking God, who are wanting to be good, who are wanting God in their life. That's the kind of people we should be around. A growing believer is also sober, okay? The next mark of a consistent Christian is one who is sober. We should desire to be sober. As such, he or she is temperate, discreet, of a sound mind. He does not see things better than they are or worse than they are. He sees things as they really are. Similarly, he does not view himself better than he is or worse than he is, but as he is. As a result, he does not suffer from delusions of grandeur on the one hand or delusions of persecution on the other hand. He is neither ruined by conceit or devastated by inferiority. He views himself as a sinner saved by grace, accepted in the Beloved, and co-heir of the grace of life with all other believers in Jesus Christ. How many times does the devil want us to get away from that? He doesn't want us to think soberly. Instead, he tries to get us to think, oh, you're no good. Oh, you're not good for anything. Oh, you know, you did this and you did that. And he tries to pinpoint areas in our life where we have, and so he tries to make us inferior, right? Or he says, well, if that won't work on him, he tries to lift us up in pride. Oh, you are so good. Oh, look at what a good Christian you are. Oh, you're getting on the realm of perfection. Oh, yeah. You know what? You don't need to be around anyone anymore. You are so good. You can do it yourself. And he gets us into pride. See, that's two ends of the spectrum, which either way we're going to sin. We're going to think too low of ourselves and not think soberly as God has made us. If we're going to think too low of ourselves, that's a sin. If we're going to think too proudly or too high of ourselves, that's a sin. We are sinners saved by grace that are special to God. We are special to God. He made us special. He loves us, and he's taking care of us. So let us just think of ourselves as God thinks of us, as a sinner saved by grace, accepted in the Beloved, and co-heir of the grace of life with all other believers in Christ Jesus. That's a good way to think. Okay, then the last one here, just. What does it mean as a Christian? How do we get to the point where we're being just? The word just means virtuous, a person of integrity, one who keeps God's commands and deals fairly with others. Just means dealing fairly with others. There was a man who was being deceitful. He was a butcher, and some lady came to him. Hey, it was the end of the day. She said, "Hey, I think I'm going to have some chicken today to take home for my family. Can I have a chicken, please?" And so he pulls up. He looks in the barrel. There's only one chicken left. He puts the chicken up on the scale. He says, "Okay, 5 pounds." She says, "You know, I think I want a little bit bigger of a chicken. Can I have a bigger one?" Well, this butcher, who was not being honest, said, "Okay," puts that chicken down in the barrel, pretends to fish around in the barrel for another one, finally pulls out the same chicken, puts it on the scale. "I think this one weighs a pound more," you know, with his finger on the back of the scale. And she says, "Okay. I think I'll take them both." Uh-oh. What's going to happen to that butcher? His lie is going to come out. Okay, that's what happens when we are deceitful, when we tell lies, when we try to cover up our actions. Guess what? It doesn't work out for us. That's why God says, "Speak every man truth with his neighbor." God says, "Put away lying and deceitfulness, and speak every man truth with his neighbor." We need to be just, or a person of integrity. And you know what? You won't have to think of all the crazy ways to cover up for yourself. You know, how many times have liars been caught in their own traps? Why? Because they're always trying to think up ways that they have to cover. And life becomes very complicated when all a person does is say lies. Okay, so it's much better to just tell the truth and be just, as God says here. And God will bless us for being truthful. So there was a man who worked for a boat company, and his boss had him putting together boats, and he was a Christian, but he said, "You know, these copper nails," his boss would tell him to all use copper nails, because copper doesn't rust underwater. And so these nails were very good for underwater. Copper is also expensive. And so this man who was a Christian started taking home some copper nails. He said, "Well, he's not paying me enough, so I'm just going to take some nails." And pretty soon he was taking more and more. And over time he just kept taking more to use at his house. And then he heard a sermon as an evangelist preached and said, "What are you hiding from God? It's time to get right and be truthful with people and to fess up, because God will bless truth." And so that man wrestled with that at night, and then he came back the next night, wrestled with it, and he gave it over to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I don't want to hide this anymore. I'm going to go to my boss." He went to his boss, said, "Hey, I've been stealing some copper nails, and I've been taking them home, and you know, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to pay for these nails that I've stolen over these last couple years, and I'm going to make this right." He said, "You know," he said, "I didn't think much of you as a Christian. I didn't think much of you, but now that you're telling me this, now I think, you know what, you have something that I don't. You have a genuine Christianity that I don't." See, I didn't think much of your Christian testimony before, but now I do, because you are doing what's right, and the Lord is changing you. He said, "I want what you have." And he was able to, after time, to lead his employer to the Lord. See, what happens when we get right and we're just in our dealings with people, that God blesses us. He blesses us. Then a Christian should be holy, separated to God from every form of evil. Paul told the Thessalonians, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. God wants us to be holy in our dealings with people. He doesn't want us to be undercover, hiding things, and because sooner or later it's going to come out, right? Sooner or later, people are going to find out. So God doesn't want us to hide things. He wants us to prove all things. Well, I don't know if I should do this or not. Well, let's pray about it. Let's prove it. Let's prove it. If it's something that I should be doing as a Christian, I'm going to ask God, Lord, should I be doing this? As I read the scriptures, what principles are there in this? And if it goes against the word of God, then we abstain and then do that which is right. Then the next mark of a mature, consistent Christian is they are temperate. Okay, we're in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. Titus 1, verse 8. He is temperate. That means disciplined in all things, curbing his own desires and appetites, practicing God-strengthened self-mastery and God-sourced self-control. His life or her life is characterized by biblical balance and spiritual soundness. He's got it all together in his Christian walk. Not perfectly, but at least he's mature. He's consistent. That's what God is looking for in a bishop or a pastor. That they should be temperate or self-controlled. Okay? Why? Why is it needed to be all of these things? Why does a pastor have to be a role model, so to speak, on a spiritual level in his family, in his character, and in his example to others? Why? Because verse 10 answers that question. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. See, there's a lot of people in this world who are going to be attacking a church, especially a church that stands on the Word of God. And they're going to be attacking it. Why? Because they don't want to be convicted by their own sin. They don't want to have the light of the gospel shining in on their life. And so they're going to try to attack it. And at times, even Christians, born-again Christians who are backslidden, will even try to attack the church and attack the stand of the church and attack the Bible and attack God. That is why there has to be a spiritual leader, a pastor, who is able to use the Word of God skillfully to exhort and convince them, hey, don't do that. That's dangerous for you. You say you're a Christian, but you're saying to not be honest. You say you're a Christian, you're saying it's okay to gossip. That's wrong. You're saying you're a Christian, you say it's okay to be deceitful. That's wrong. And God is going to judge you for it. You need to come out of that sin and do right. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. Why? Because they're going to talk. God says there are, verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Okay, it doesn't matter where the church is. It could be in Spain. Could be with the Rivolo, you know, Brother Dan in Spain. Or it could be in Ukraine with the Kellers. It could be in the Philippines there with Brother Bruner. It could be over in South America and Brazil. It doesn't matter where the church is. There's always going to be people who don't want God in their life and are going to be unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. They're going to try to take people out of the church one by one. They're going to try and say, hey, don't listen to the Bible. Don't listen to God. Do it my way. I've got the better philosophy of life. But you know what? Look at their life. Is their life marked by success, peace, good testimony, people loving them because they're kind, or is it the opposite? And I submit to you this morning, every person who is unruly, a vain talker, a deceiver, they are the opposite. Their life is not marked by God's blessing. Their life is marked by strife and division and contention. So that's where a pastor comes in to help rebuke those people so that they can get right with God. There are many people who will get right if they are challenged on the Word of God and carefully preached to and talked to. But then there are many more who will not, no matter what a pastor does, what that Christian does, no matter what that person does. If they've already split a church, I heard Pastor Jordan, my dad's pastor, preach on this subject. He said if they've already split a church and they've taken some people away, he says you can't go after them. They'll never come back, number one. Number two, they will just try to damage more. And sure enough, as I've tried to go after the people who've left and have taken one or two with them, they never have a good attitude. They never seem to be successful in their Christian life. They never have peace. As you look on their face, there's always some kind of disgruntlement. Why? Because they're hurting God's flock. And that's where God's shepherd comes in. As a pastor comes in and says, hey, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that here, because my job is to protect the flock here. And I'm praying for each one of the people in this church. I'm praying for them, and I'm not going to let you come in and try to steal them out, because you're an unruly and vain talker and deceiver, and it's not going to happen on my watch. Okay, now the Christian in the church can choose to leave anyway, but it will be against the prayers of that pastor. It will be against the preaching of that pastor. It will be against the Lord's ministry in that church. And so that's what a pastor is for. He has to be mature. He has to be seeking to be consistent. He has to be not perfect, but trying to be obedient to God. Why? Because there has to be guarding and watching and warning in the flock. And that's what Paul set up Titus to do. He said, Titus, look for the men who can lead God's flocks. As you go from city to city there in the island of Crete, look for men who are consistent, who love God, who are exhibiting these characteristics, because set them up that they can then lead a church and then raise up more leaders and more men and women who love the Lord and who will be able to take on the ministries of the church and be able to go on for God and lead many to Christ. That is what Paul sent Titus to do. And that's why it's so important that we listen to God's word, number one. Number two, listen to God's Christians, especially to the pastor. God's giving him insight into things where you don't necessarily know. You say, how do you know? Because I know it in my life. When God called me, and when I was a teenager, I fought against God. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. That's hard. That's tough. You know, that's a tough job. It's not a thankful job. I saw my dad, and at times, you know, people loved him, and then at times, left. And I said, it's not an easy job. And I said, I can't speak in front of people. And I gave all the excuses why I didn't want to be a pastor, but God said no. He kept impressing it so strongly upon my heart and saying, no, I want you to train for the ministry. No, I want you to train to be a pastor. No, I want you to go to Bible college. No, I want you to study. I want you to train under your dad to learn how to do the work. And sure enough, I listened. After fighting, I listened and I obeyed and I submitted. And it has been a blessing to submit to the Lord. Why? Because I've seen God change me and take me and grow me bit by bit by bit. And that's what God wants for all of us. He has a plan for our life, and He wants to grow us bit by bit, step by step, day by day, grow us into a mature Christian. So let us not fight against God, but let us obey the Lord, and let us do His will, and let us listen to the church, listen to the pastor. If you want counsel, go to the pastor. God gives him special insight as he's praying for you to help you in certain areas, or to pray with you in certain times of stress or discouragement or worry or not knowing what to do. There's a special insight there, and that can help in a great way. So that's what God is saying here in Titus chapter 1, that he sets up first a pastor. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning to be reminded of this important job that we have as Christians, to seek to be consistent, to go on to maturity for you. We pray that you'd help us this morning as you brought things to our mind that are not pleasing to you, as you've convicted us in any area or areas. Lord, I pray you'd help us to put it under your rule as God, as King of all the earth, as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we would submit ourselves to you this morning, that we would not kick against the pricks, that we not try to do it our own way or try to make it work. But we know any time we try to make sin work, it only will destroy us. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Whatever it is that we need to change, you'd help us to do that for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to our hymn books as we close this service. We invite you to have a special time at the end of every service to come down, kneel at the altar. Maybe you want to come and pray for yourself, or maybe you want to come and pray for someone else, or maybe you just want to come and thank God. Would you come and do business with God this morning at the altar? There is room here. Let us sing the song, Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. And that page number is on 470. 470. Let's all stand together as we sing number 470. And we invite you to come. The Lord has spoken to you about it here. You can come and use the altar. Or maybe you can say, Pastor, I want some counsel from the Word of God. Or maybe I need to be saved. Would you come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I want to trust Christ as my Savior? Or would you come and just kneel at the altar this morning? Would you come?
Thank you. 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. Just going back, that special message on faith being the victory. And let us bow together in prayer and also pray for our food to follow and the business meeting as well. Yes, Brother Todd, if you please.
Dear Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we thank you for the message you heard and the challenge given to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hide your words in our hearts, that we can live it in our lives, Lord, and be a testimony for you. We ask you to continue blessings upon each one who has come. Father, we ask you to bless and guide the meeting to follow. And we ask your blessings also on the food that is prepared. We ask your blessings again, Lord, to give us health and strength to honor you, Lord, in our lives on a day-by-day basis. And Father, we pray for those who are not with us because of sickness. We ask that you to touch on their bodies, that we can be healed well again, to be with us in the next service. And Lord, for you, all that you do, Lord, we give you the glory, and the praise, and thanks. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.